Hi there, everyone. This is Tracy, and I am here today with a special guest, Joyce Short. Joyce is the author of Combating Romance Scams and Cardinal Abuse by Deceit. Some of you have seen my interview with her before, but today we're going to talk about, here we go. You ready, guys? 10 things you should know if your Valentine is Mr. or Mrs. Right or Mr. or Mrs. Scam. Welcome, Joyce.
Thank you so much, Tracy. It's just a pleasure to be here.
Yay. So you are the expert on romance scams. And
unfortunately.
I know, it's like, thanks for that title.
Yeah, I can live without it.
Yeah, exactly. But my channel, as you know, helps victims of narcissist abuse. And my question to you right off the bat is, are most victims of narcissistic abuse involved in a romance scam?
Well, I would say that a lot of them are. Mm-hmm. You know, there are narcissists that don't simply abuse people through romance, but there are a lot of narcissists that do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we're talking about are the ones that do.
Right, exactly. So what I want to talk to you about first is, like, I want you to talk to me about what a catfish is, because I don't know that all our viewers know what that is.
Catfish is a name that's been ascribed to people that conduct romance scams. Phishing is a type of fraud on the internet, spelled P-H-I. So the concept of catfishing originated from the concept of phishing.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they're people that reel you in by posing as something they're not on the internet, for the most part. That doesn't mean that the only place that you can be scammed, or the only way you can be scammed, is through internet dating. But the internet has certainly opened the door,
yeah,
to enable access to an extraordinary degree.
Yeah.
Far more than ever existed in the past.
Yeah.
So it's really become an epidemic, and the FBI has indicated that approximately $200 million were lost in romance scams that were reported to them in 2017.
Oh my gosh.
And that doesn't even consider the amount of therapy people need, the amount of cases that are not reported. So, you know, even judging by that figure, that might really indicate just the tail wagging the dog, a small portion of the, of the total amount of injury that these people sustain. It's really pretty huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten to an epidemic level.
I know a lot of friends that have had that happen on Facebook, where they have, you know, some strange person that doesn't know you comes along with a profile and tells them they're beautiful. And then they start a conversation, they accept their friendship, and the next thing they know, they're sending them money.
People think that you're going to be able to detect this person's motives rely on your ability to protect yourself, without understanding that there are things that go on in your brain through your brain chemistry that gets stirred up when people are affectionate toward you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're paying you a compliment, then your brain reacts to that compliment and feels affectionately toward this person. And once your affection is stirred up, then, you know, they can manipulate you through that brain chemistry.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to do. And these people who do this are pretty practiced at what they're doing.
Yeah.
They do it to a lot of people. In many instances, they'll hold, you know, 12 people captive to their, to their scam. And some of them, it's a business coming out of Nigeria. They call them 419 scams. They're actually businesses that are established in order to scam people to get their money.
Wow.
So they're not They're not scams that you actually meet the person. They'll often set up a false meeting where they'll claim that they're going to meet you, but they're having trouble getting out of the country. They need to pay a fine, or they need to pay a tax, or they were hospitalized, and you know, some stupidity for why they can't pay it themselves, and you end up paying for them because you think you're going off to meet the, you know, the person of your dreams, when actually you're just talking to some boiler room operation in a foreign country.
Wow. It's hard to think of like a whole phone bank. You know, when you get those calls, like, you know, this is Google calling, and you can hear all the other fake people in the background. It's hard to imagine that, like, a room full of people actually just calling to scam, but that's what happens. It's not, sometimes it's a rogue one person, but sometimes it's a bigger operation, like a sex scam operation. That's not a little thing. It's a giant thing, right?
Very much so.
Yeah. Wow. So how do people, let's talk about how do people identify this, or the 10 things that they should know if this is happening to them?
Well, number one, when you see the photograph of somebody that you're attracted to, or somebody that reaches out to you, you definitely should do a background check on the photograph itself. You can do that through Google reverse image search. You can actually look in Google reverse image search, and you can tell whether that photo has been used by someone else, whether the photo has been used by a person of a different name. You can see whether this photo has been used for the last 20 years.
Wow.
If it has, then you're going to know that photo is not a recent photo of the person. They're using something that's either old or that's been that's not even theirs. And another way of using photography in order to get to the bottom of whether or not they're scamming you is, let's say you have a conversation, and you have a dog. I have a little dog. His name is. I have two dogs actually, So in the course of conversation, we might have a discussion about my being a dog lover, and these people will try and ingratiate themselves with you by having similar likes and dislikes that you have. So that person who you're telling is that you're a dog lover, you're going to find that they're a dog lover too. Mm-hmm. So you might want to ask them to put on their dating profile a picture of themselves with that dog.
Oh.
Okay. If they tell you that they're an art lover and they just bought a wonderful piece of art, you can ask them to, you know, give you a picture on their dating profile, and don't give them your email address.
Oh.
Simply post it on their dating profile, the picture of them with whatever that artwork was. Or let's say they say, I have a beautiful view of the river from my living room. Great. Have them take a picture standing in front of their window with a beautiful view of whatever it is that they're talking about. So these are ways that you can expect them to cooperate. This is not something that's going to seem out of context with that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't cooperate, they probably will never talk to you again.
Mm.
So if you're ghosted by someone because you've asked them to take a picture that you know is going to verify in your mind whether or not they're on the level,
mm-hmm.
and they disappear instead,
run.
You pat yourself on the shoulder.
Yeah.
For having protected yourself.
Yeah. That's an important thing. I never would have imagined that. But again, if they're using that fake picture, they can't be standing next to the river and be that person. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I know in your book, you suggest people check the ID of the person. If they're actually, you know, we were just talking about online scams and profiles, but what if they're meeting someone in person? Your check the ID thing was a really good idea. You want to talk about that?
Surely. You know, I advocated for them, and I advocate for people all over the country and all over the world who get defrauded in romance scams. And one of them I worked with was actually engaged to the man before she looked at his ID.
Wow.
She looked at his ID, she found out that he had given her a false name. She was pregnant at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, it was very sad. She found out what his true identity was. She looked him up, and she found out that he was a convicted bigamist and a convicted pedophile.
Oh.
He claimed that he had never been married, and he wanted children in the worst way. He didn't have any children, and he was, I think, in his mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
He had thirteen children by eight different women.
Oh, and she found that out from the license.
By looking at his driver's license.
Wow.
Because he had given her a fictitious name.
Mm-hmm.
And when she saw his real name, she was actually able to Google him and found out all the information that he had withheld and lied to her about.
Wow.
So people, you know, look at me like I'm absolutely nuts when I tell them to check the ID. But I got to tell you, you know, maybe on your first date, you don't want to check the ID.
Mm-hmm.
Before you have sex with this person,
mm-hmm.
100%. Look, you're sharing intimacy with this person.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even be intimate to the extent that they would share an ID with you. Why would you want to exchange intimate body fluids with this person?
Right.
Really?
Exactly.
So before you have sex with this person, make sure that you look at their ID. It might save you from horrible defilement and heartache.
And I would imagine that if you're out on a date with them and they use a credit card, like, and they put it on the check, that might be a really good time to also just like be glancing that that is who they say they are, because they can't have a fake, well, they could have a fake credit card, but you know, if they're putting down a John Smith credit card and they say they're, you know, someone else, there's a red flag to look for.
Absolutely. If you see a name other than the name that they gave you, then by all means, you should be very inquisitive about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You had told me about license plates too.
Yeah.
Running
license plates are a good indication of where they live.
Okay.
License plate will state what their home address is, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So if they've told you something other than their home address, then you can usually get that by noting what their license plate is. So if you go out on a date and you're in their car, make sure that you remember what their license plate is, because ultimately it could be the key to finding out more information about that person. You know, if you drive past their home and you see a tricycle in the front yard, you're going to know that they're married with kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to know that, you know, the critical information. A lot of times people will claim that they're single when they're married. The license plate might actually give you the basic information that you need in order to determine whether or not they're telling you the truth.
Wow. I know a lot of people like fake their jobs and pretend they're someone that they're not in that way, right?
Absolutely. They'll not only fake their jobs. I know of many women that have been scammed by people who had entire online presences that were established as, you know, a blog or a web page having to do with a business that they're, you know, some enterprise that they've established.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing was fictitious.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not at all unusual In fact, there's a woman in New Jersey who fell in love with a man who claimed, you probably remember who Bernie Madoff is.
Oh, God, yes.
Okay, so Bernie Madoff is in jail because he defrauded lots of very intelligent people out of millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
This particular fellow from the case in New Jersey was kind of like a mini Bernie Madoff. He claimed that he was a wealth manager. Mm-hmm. And that he worked with people's 401ks and that he invested their money for them. And he had a very sophisticated web presence that supported that claim.
Wow.
They were engaged. She trusted this man. I think that they had gone out for about 18 months or something of that, you know, something like that. So when he told her that he thought that he could get a better return on her 401k than what she was already getting, you know, she was in love with this man. She trusted him. She knew he was a wealth manager, and she turned her 401k over to him. $232,000.
And did she lose it?
Every single nickel. Not only did she lose it, but because it wasn't rolled over in another 401k.
She had to pay a penalty?
Yes, she did. The IRS came after her for, I think it was about $50,000.
Oh my God.
And then she brought litigation against this man. She engaged in a civil action against him.
Okay.
And she won the civil action.
Which meant?
Didn't get a dime. Didn't get a dime. She won the civil action, right? But the guy doesn't have, pardon me, a pot to pee in.
Wow.
So how are you going to get any kind of restitution from someone that has no assets?
Right.
And that's why most of these cases are not cases that you can get even into a civil court, because an attorney wants a payday.
Right.
They
right.
want, you know, they're not in this for their health. Mm-hmm. They need to pay their staff. They need to pay their, you know, the services, their phones, their office, their rent.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get paid. And if they can't see a payday out of bringing litigation against a person,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, even bringing a civil action, because oftentimes people will say to me, well, you can, you know, you sexual assault by fraud happens to you, you just, you know, take out a civil action. No, it doesn't work that way.
Wow.
So she was out about $50,000 in attorney's fees. She was out about $50,000 in
fines
by the IRS. She was out $232,000 from what he stole in her 401k, and he had fraudulently used her credit cards as well, and ran up, I think, about another $25,000 worth of.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
And there's. That's the hardest part for me, is to understand when I hear these stories, and I hear them, and I just don't understand how come there's not laws that can protect us.
You know, I've worked very hard in order to help society understand what the problem is with our laws, and to create a law that will put an end to this nonsense. And the same language for a law that will protect people against romance scams will protect people against all forms of sexual assault. It's very easy to do. It's very easy to understand. And here's the language for it. And it should be passed in every state across the country. And it goes like this. Non-consensual sex is a sexual assault. And consent is freely given, knowledgeable and informed agreement. So if you can couple those two things together, then anyone can understand why harming someone this way, particularly if you're using a romance scam where you have a sexual relationship with this person, that person isn't seducing you, they're sexually assaulting you. They're defiling you. They're trying to stir up your brain chemistry in order to harm you. And there are three major motives for people that conduct romance scams. One of them is to get at your assets. And that's consistent with the poor woman in New Jersey that lost over $300,000. Another one is simply for sex. A lot of times people are dealing with sex addicts and they don't recognize it. And what the person is after is just, you know, to sexually assault you.
Mm-hmm.
And the third motivation is immigration status. A lot of times, and this is a form of sexual assault by fraud that affects men to a great extent. So people that accuse me of being a feminazi, I always try to get across to them that this isn't a law that simply protects women. This law will protect men as well. And the men and the number of men that are harmed through romance scams for immigration, that number is staggering. Donald Trump thinks he's going to protect us all by putting up a wall. Shoot, that isn't really a solution. People are going to, you know, reach right into your living room through your desktop. They don't need to scale a wall.
Right.
We're right there through the internet and, you know, catch you into, embroil you into a romance scam and get you that way.
Right.
So, yeah.
And then pretend, I mean, then they do in some cases actually marry the person so they can get their immigration status. But you were telling me about something that, gets them in trouble. What was it when they,
it's called the VAWA law. It's VAWA. And it's laws that help protect people that are abused. But unfortunately, they can the law itself can be abused. Mm. And often, people that are coming into this country just to secure immigration status by engaging in a romance scam, once they're here and they're either married or they're engaged and they're getting their green card, then all of a sudden you'll become the abuser that they report on to VAWA so that they can leave you without being deported.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a very complicated issue.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly there are people that are entitled to VAWA protection.
Mm-hmm.
Our authorities need to be very careful about who they actually give that protection to. And they need to look at the historic past of this person and look at what their real motivation is. And when the victim indicates that they feel that they've been scammed, they really need to look seriously at whether or not that may be true.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very unethical way of breaching immigration law in order to get your immigration status. And the end result is that the person who is defrauded this way feels terribly violated. And more often it's a man as opposed to it being a woman.
Wow.
Immigration.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Because I know a lot of men that have ended up in the same situation where they fall in love with someone, they think it's real love, and all they've got to do is marry them and they'll live happily ever after. But they aren't aware, right? That's the key here. That the person that's being taken really thinks it's real.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it goes back to your emotional chemistry. And the fact that Mother Nature gave us this emotional chemistry in order to bond us so that we can perpetuate the species.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can mate, have children, nurture our children. And so we have brain chemistry that mm-hmm. enables us to bond and mate. And people will tamper with that emotional chemistry right through your desktop.
Wow.
But they can reach out to you on the internet get you to feel coupled with them and stir up that brain chemistry of attraction and mating.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why it's so dangerous. And that's why you need to be very, very careful who you let your children speak to on the internet.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's a whole nother ball of wax, right? Yeah. Yeah. Our kids are being exposed.
It is.
Wow. Yeah. I know you met Lizelle last year, or was it 2 years ago, I think now. And, you know, she you know, conducted a romance with this man that was by Skype. He was very manipulative. If then looking back at scheduling the time every day to talk to her.
Oh yeah.
And,
That's a ploy. When you're talking to somebody who wants to speak to you at a scheduled time, and they'll usually have some kind of a realistic, concept. They'll impart to you some reasoning behind why they need to consistently speak to you at a specific time during the day.
Mm-hmm.
I have a job that, you know, I can't talk on the phone during the day. I can only speak to you at a specific hour. It's a red flag. Oftentimes, they're juggling a lot of people, and they're putting you in a queue. If it's one of these big boiler room operations,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, you're in queue. You're coming up on their calendar, and they're going to see the notes coming up on their screen, telling them all the information about you is going to pop up on their screen, and they're going to see all that information. And they're going to do it in a very methodical way.
Wow.
So be very, very careful. And also, it's a lot easier for them to balance all these balls that they're juggling.
Uh-huh.
When they can do it in a very very sequential, structured fashion. So
wow.
When people tell you that they can only speak to you during a specific time, uh-huh. also, it could be the time that their wife is out of the house,
mm.
or their children are asleep. It could be something that they know about the family dynamic that makes it impossible for them to speak to you at other times, but they can speak to you at that particular time.
Wow. So a good test would be to break that pattern and
yeah.
see what happens, right?
Yep, absolutely.
You shouldn't be met with like anger, certainly,
yeah.
Like that you stepped out of line. And I can see some of these people getting angry that you aren't being obedient and talking to them at 1 o'clock every day or whatever.
Yeah.
See that totally happening.
Also, if they call you by pet names,
mm-hmm.
right out of the box, you know, when they start telling you, oh, you're beautiful and I really want to meet you. And then you get to talking to them or having a conversation with them. And all of a sudden they're creating a pet name for you. That's really a way to ingratiate themselves to you. And you need to be very, very wary of people that immediately start calling you by pet names.
Wow.
That's to kind of get beyond your defenses and get your emotional chemistry stirred up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that we talked about, it's in your book, that sometimes they don't pay their way. And that it's like, oh, I forgot my wallet, or I get paid next week. Can you cover this dinner, or things like that? That's very common, right?
It happens, yeah. And it's a pretty good tip off that this person is having some financial difficulties, and you're going to be experiencing a lot more, problems, financial problems with this person.
Right. Or in some ways, I think they're probably testing you. Will she pay if I say I my check isn't due till Friday? They're putting this out there to test you. And for me, I know that my 3X dude slowly tested it. It was not just, here's a big dinner. It was like, ooh, let's go to lunch, forgot my wallet, whatever it was. And it slowly, as I was, you know, I gave into that. I passed that test. I bought them lunch. Next step is, okay, my car's broken. I need money for this. You know, I passed that test. I passed all the tests along the way as this man took $10,000 from me.
Wow.
And things. There wasn't just money. It was things. And so I think, you know, I'm an intelligent person. You're an intelligent person. We get bonded to them out of trust and we want to help. But that's a really big red flag that people should be aware of, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right that these people groom you. And they'll start by grooming you for some small little detail, something very small, and then it gets bigger and it gets bigger, and they're just testing to see just how far they can push you.
Yeah, yeah.
I worked with a woman out of Florida who lost $16,000 to the man, then he came back for $65,000. Once he came back for the $65,000, she got it.
Yeah.
He came after the $16,000 piece by piece, and the pieces got bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And then when the piece turned into a request for $65,000, she recognized, oh brother, you know, what have I done? What have I gotten myself into?
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as my mother died, this guy was like a pig on shit. He just wanted like more of my mother's money, actually asking me to steal it from my siblings because I was the executor. He's like, nobody will know, just I need this and you need to help me. And, you know, and the tears, the whole thing.
Yeah. Let me ask you something. When when you met him, was your mother ill?
Yes, she was in a hospital, and then I moved her here. You think he knew that? Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when we go through difficulties in our lives, we are the most vulnerable. When we've experienced loss, or we're about to experience loss or upheaval in our lives, it could be loss of a job. It could be loss of a loved one, but when we have those losses in our lives, put us in a more vulnerable position.
Right.
And oftentimes, narcissists and people with bad intent, they know what they're looking for.
It's like the deer's running in the forest or the jungle, and the lion's going to come and get them. They're going for the weakest link. They're going for the little straggler, the one that might not have a lot of friends. I think a lot of people I've talked to, when they hear the word rape, for example, and we hear that oh so common, well, she was wearing that skirt, you know, she was asking for it. But the reality is when a rapist is going into a bar, they're probably not looking for the hot one in the tiny little skirt. They're looking for the one by herself, right? She's isolated. She's by herself. She's a much better target than going for the hot one in the skirt, right?
She's the low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
People that are intoxicated or people that are on drugs are particularly vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's sad but true, and oftentimes you're right. People that are offenders and predators will go after someone who they know to be vulnerable. No one should ever put themselves in a position where, you know, they're alone in a bar with a strange man and, you know, have to find their way home or take a ride home from someone. Not a good idea. Call a cab.
Exactly.
Call Uber.
Yeah.
Call the cab, you know, get yourself home in a safe way.
Yeah. I didn't even know, because I've lived this, you know, married, sheltered life my whole life. I didn't even know that if you were in a bar and someone offered to go get you a drink, that you should never take it unless you watch the bartender pour it. That was a like a shocker for me, but I do believe that that someone slipped a Mickey to a friend of mine and was trying to take advantage because we didn't know to make sure we look and don't let someone buy us a drink and bring it over.
Yeah. I think that today there's a little bit more enlightenment about how common that kind of behavior is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people should be aware that they have to look out for their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the It's On Us legacy that we see. And actually the law that I'm suggesting, non-consensual sex is a sexual assault,
mm-hmm.
the very first line in the It's On Us pledge, which was endorsed by President Obama and Vice President Biden. And then the second part to the law, which is the definition of consent, because it's one thing to say non-consensual sex is sexual assault, but we have to know what consent really means. And from state to state, that changes.
Mm.
We have to have consistency from state to state. Consent can't be different in Indiana than it is, you know, 5 miles down the road in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
That just doesn't work.
Right.
Not consent is very easy to explain, but our consent provisions in our penal codes explain it very badly. In fact, in most penal code, consent is defined by what it's not instead of what it is.
Wow.
A lot of penal codes utilize Model Penal Code, which was created by the American Law Institute in 1962, as the standard. And here's what Model Penal Code says. Model Penal Code says consent is ineffective. That means what it's not, if induced by force, duress, or deception.
So deception.
Now, to turn that around and you say it in the positive. Okay, this is what Model Penal Code is telling us what consent is not.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need are laws that tell us what consent is.
Mm-hmm.
Consent is a form of agreement. There are many forms of agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you assent to something, you're agreeing to it. Assent is agreement on the face of it. If you acquiesce to something, and this is typical of Harvey Weinstein's victims,
mm-hmm.
acquiesced to what he was doing. That means you're agreeing under duress.
Mm.
Okay, so there's more than one type of agreement.
Right.
There's assent, there's acquiescence, there's consent, and consent is a very, very specific type of agreement. It's freely given, knowledgeable, and informed agreement. So if you couple non-consensual sex as sexual assault, okay, so when is sexual assault non-consensual? Well, consent is freely given, knowledgeable, and informed agreement.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't have freely given, knowledgeable, and informed agreement, mm-hmm. you can't have sex with that person.
Right.
It's that simple. It doesn't have to be complicated. It really is simple.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can nod their head if they're drunk, but that's not consent.
Right.
Right? They can nod their head if they're drugged. Not consent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or you can be of a higher authority that can have tremendous influence on this person's life, like being their employer.
Yeah.
And insist that they have sex with you. And they might agree to do it, but just because you agree doesn't mean that you've given consent.
Mm-hmm.
Because consent is freely given, knowledgeable, and informed agreement.
Wow. Ah, so with all of this scary stuff, my computer's running out of power. With all this scary stuff, how do people protect themselves?
Well, one of the things that you can do, and I know you know, is I have a blog. They can look on my blog, and they can get chapter 4 of my book, which is Combating Romance Scams, Why Lying to Get Laid is a Crime. Thank you very much. Chapter 4 is available free, because my concern is to help people not be hooked into romance scams. So go online. You're going to see a little, space on my webpage. You're better at describing that than I am, because I'm not as technically savvy as you are. But all you have to do is push the little free help button on my webpage, and you'll be able to get chapter 4 free of charge. And anybody can read my book. It's on Amazon. And anybody can pick up the phone to your legislator. Look online. Look up the district. Find out who represents them. The state legislature is what we're aiming at, because penal code is enacted state by state.
Mm-hmm.
So if you call the legislator in your district and you're a constituent and they get a phone call from you, they're going to be very enthusiastic about supporting what you're asking them for.
Mm-hmm.
All they need to do is go online, take a look, see who their House of Representatives or Assembly or Senate are the names that their legislators are called by. The other people that they can pursue in order to enact this legislation are the prosecutors in their district. Because this would, if you have a prosecutor who's favorably inclined, they'll connect with the legislator and explain to the legislator why they need this type of language in the laws in order to protect the people in their district. So, there are different ways that you can approach it. You can approach the legislator, you can approach the prosecutor in order to try and get this legislation enacted within your district. It isn't just enacted in your district, but your legislator is mm-hmm. going to introduce it into the Senate or introduce it into the Assembly. In fact, you have to introduce it in both places.
Mm-hmm.
Laws are passed simultaneously in the Assembly and in the Senate, and then they're signed into law by the governor. So it's a little bit more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But as you go through the process, your legislators will, if they're emphatic about passing it into law, they'll know what has to be done, and they're going to get behind doing it.
Awesome. Well, I know I'm going to call on Monday morning and shake them up a little bit, because this is something that we need to protect our citizens against. This is perfect timing with the Me Too and all of the awareness that we have here. It just seems like if we don't get them help, it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger. This has to end.
It does have to end.
Yeah.
And this law, this wording, will not only end sexual assault by fraud, it will protect against every form of sexual assault that exists in society. So there's no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Our laws are antiquated. They go back all the way to when women were considered chattel, and they were owned by their fathers, and then they were owned by their husbands. We are now citizens in our own right. We have our own minds. We have our own bodies, and our laws should protect us.
Mm.
And whether you're a man or a woman, the laws should protect you. And speaking up, making sure that every state understands, every citizen in every state understands what consent really means and applies mm-hmm. consent in all sexual conduct is mm-hmm. absolutely essential for everyone throughout this country.
Right. Well, it has been a pleasure talking with you, Joyce. How did I do that?
I've been called worse.
Well, you are a joy, so it just came with it. So thank you for enlightening my listeners here, and I will, I'm sure, be talking with you again soon. And for those of you who do not follow Joyce on Twitter, on her blog, I highly suggest that you connect with her because she's got a lot of great information out there. And she is doing what we all need to do, and that is to help change the laws, not only for us and our situations, but for our children and for the next generation. If we don't stand up now during this optimal time, who's going to do it? Let's all take a stand.
100%. Yes. Thank you, Tracy. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome, my dear. Thank you.